Welcome back to the Heights Podcast. At Heights, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. And we create content like this podcast in order to help you take your next step on your faith journey. On the Heights Podcast, we like to talk about issues regarding faith, the culture, and the church. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. And today I am joined by Pastor Jonathan McMeans.
It's good to be here.
Good to have you back, Jonathan.
Yeah, always.
You ready to talk politics?
Let's talk politics.
We are going to talk politics today.
Yeah.
This is definitely going to be one of those episodes where we're leaning into the culture part of faith, culture, and the church. It's an election year.
It is.
It's a primary season.
Yes.
We're still a few weeks out from Super Tuesday.
Yes.
And so Texas hasn't had its primary yet, but we've had a few of the early primaries already. And it's shaping up to be an election year that's not probably going to have a whole lot of surprises. It's looking like it's going to be the same two candidates that it was last time, unless something kind of crazy happens. But I thought it would be, you know, because it's election year and election season, it would be a good time to talk about just the whole idea of Christians voting, being involved in the political process, what that looks like, what kind of biblical principles we're using when we go to the ballot box. I just thought those would be good things for us to talk about.
Sure.
So first of all, which political party are you planning on voting for?
So I am actually an independent. And I don't spend a lot of time talking about politics at church. And my view of myself is somebody that is kind of politically homeless.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is I'm not going to fall in line with the Democrat Party on a good amount of their issues. I'm not going to fall in line with the Republican Party on a good amount of their issues. And I'm not always going to fall in line with like the Libertarian or the Green Party or the Birthday Party or, you know, choose your party of the week as third parties are trying to come up. You know, not going to fall in line with Robert F. Kennedy on all of his shenanigans either. But I say, you know, I'm politically homeless because when I try to live my worldview and base my worldview on scripture, I want to have a view of ideas and policies that fall in line with what the church is instructed to do and be, and the way that we're supposed to love each other and take care of one another. And so I claim to be independent, and I keep who I vote for and how I vote typically pretty close to the chest.
And I see a lot of wisdom in that. Yeah, I can definitely see a lot of wisdom in that. So first question I think I would probably ask as we're talking about Christians participating in the political process, should a Christian vote or must a Christian vote? What do you think?
Now, that's actually kind of an interesting question. When I was in college, there was a girl that was interested in dating me, and I was also interested in dating her. And it was election season. I won't say the election, but it was one of the first presidential elections that I could vote in.
Okay.
And again, no one knows my age. I mean, they probably do. They could figure it out. Don't do math. But in that particular election, I had strong opinions, some of which have changed now that I am no longer 18.
Right.
But this young lady was very apolitical, mm-hmm. and chose to abstain from voting because she felt like the election was already decided. She felt like her vote didn't really matter. She felt like it was rigged. It was, you know, kind of like some of the stuff you might hear today, but that was years ago.
Some things haven't changed.
She was actually forward thinking compared to some people in the current culture. But because of that was one of the primary factors when I was dating, I'm still dating. I date my wife regularly, but when I was looking and dating in college, I was looking to get married. Mm-hmm. And because this young lady was so apolitical and didn't have a stance and didn't have a voice and didn't care to use her voice.
Gotcha.
I chose not to date this young lady.
Got it.
And so I would say a Christian should vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it's not necessarily that a Christian must vote, but I would be a big fan of Christians using their voice and their platform to try to make a difference in the ideas and the culture and do a better job of impacting culture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we can do that is by voting.
Gotcha.
And so I would say that it's one of those that Christians should vote. But when you're looking at to the single people that are watching this, if you are looking for a young man or a young woman, I would say that it's a good idea to have certain ideas that align. And if you have a strong opinion about certain topics or ideas or policies, those are okay things to talk about when you're dating or even before you're dating to determine whether or not you can be with this person and make a covenant before God with that person.
Totally. I mean, the most important thing when you're looking for a spouse is, does this person share, do you share faith?
Absolutely.
Are you guys on the same page spiritually?
Right.
And then I would say connected to that, but also like a very close second would be, do you guys share similar values?
Yes.
And some of your opinions on political issues are going to be tied in with your values.
Yes.
And so, yeah, like I would say, so I would think that on the one hand, I think it is wise for Christians to engage in the political process. And I think it is being a good steward of that privilege that we have. I know we live in America and voting and being a part of the democratic process, we think of that as a right and yes, not a privilege. But if you look at it kind of historically, like the opportunity to have a voice in your government is something kind of new, you know, yes, only by a couple hundred years.
Right.
And so I think being a good steward of having that opportunity, I think there's wisdom there.
Right.
I don't think that Christians are under any moral obligation or biblical obligation to vote.
Right.
I would say, listen to your conscience. You know, if you're looking at an election, any particular election, and you're saying, you know what, I don't want to vote for any of these jokers.
Right.
I would say, look into voting third party.
Sure.
Or if you're getting a conviction from the Holy Spirit that you'd rather stay home and you and the Holy Spirit are okay with that, then I think that's okay.
Sure.
You know, so on the one hand, I would say, I think it's wise. I think it's wise to be an educated and an informed voter, but I don't feel like you're sinning if you decide you want to sit this one out.
And I would agree, but I strongly encourage young people that I have an impact over in our ministry over the years to vote. There have been young people that have had wildly different views than I do, and I still encourage them to vote. There was one year that I drove, he had been one of my students and he graduated and was going to the community college here in town. And I drove him to go and vote, knowing that he was very likely going to vote in the opposite direction of what I voted. Mm-hmm. But it was important to me for that young man to exercise his right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's difficult. I don't think it's sinful not to vote. I don't think that it is. It doesn't make you a better or worse Christian if you vote. But practically speaking, there have been some incredible laws written on your right to vote, some incredible amendments that have been written to protect your right to vote,
mm-hmm.
That it doesn't matter your gender, you get to vote. It doesn't matter your race, you get to vote. It doesn't matter how much property or equity you have, you get to vote. There's not a test on what language you speak, you get to vote. And there are other people that have different ideas than you that are exercising their right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you, if you want your ideas, your worldview to move forward, in this case, the Christian worldview.
Right.
One of the ways that we can impact culture is through the political process, through using your voice and through voting.
So I'm thinking about differences of opinion on that worldview.
Sure.
Because what I'm thinking about is the fact is that I know faithful believers in Christ that are on different sides of the political spectrum.
Sure.
I know faithful believers in Christ that vote very red. I know faithful brothers and sisters in Christ that vote very blue for different reasons. One of the things that I hear from time to time, especially on social media, that's always made me uncomfortable is a statement that says, I don't know how you can love Jesus and vote for X, Y, or Z.
Sure.
And on the one hand, I certainly have political opinions. I certainly have certain issues that are important to me that I'm passionate about. And I do definitely do, like, I will have strong disagreements with, you know, other faithful brothers and sisters in the faith about, you know, how they might vote on a particular candidate or for a particular issue. But it's always made me very uncomfortable to say you can't be a Christian and vote X.
Right. I think that one of the issues that we get into often is a lot of times American Christianity paints this picture of Jesus that looks a lot like their political party, that looks an awful lot like their news outlet.
Okay.
That looks an awful lot like a lot of their ideologies. And I would challenge individuals to take a better look at the Jesus in the New Testament and the theology and the way the church is supposed to act in the New Testament, and kind of consider reevaluating your view of Jesus. If you can say in good conscience that you can't be a Republican and love Jesus, or you can't be a Democrat and love Jesus, I think that your view might need to shift and line closer to what Scripture is laying out. And we can get into policies a little bit later on what I mean by some of that. But I really believe that we need to paint a picture of Jesus and therefore Christianity that lines more with Scripture. And again, I don't want to sound incredibly repetitive, but it's the reason why, as now an adult, that I have chosen to be politically homeless, is because when I look at Jesus and the way the church is supposed to be, I don't see a stamp of elephant or a stamp of donkey or a stamp of porcupine or whatever your animal of choice is when it comes to politics. And so I think really what we need to do is take a step back. Yes, vote on your ideas, vote on your conscience. But if you're a Christian and you claim to have a Christian worldview, then not only your ideas, but also the ideals that fall in line with what Scripture teaches us as a whole. And I think that would make the way that you vote very different.
You know, one of the reasons I think these kinds of conversations, those kinds of comments can get made, is so much of the politics that we're dealing with in this day and age is reacting against something else or someone else.
Yes.
It's more like, it's less, how can you be in favor of X, Y, and Z? And it's more like, how could you ever support this person or this policy?
Absolutely.
You know, and I think, and it's that reactionary thing that I think is just really kind of, you know, how can you be a support and how could you be a Christian and support this person or this idea or this policy? And one of the things I think is important to remember is that political issues and particularly political candidates are always complicated in a mixed bag.
Sure.
So one of the reasons why, and the thing is, like, we're always going to have differences of opinion on political issues.
Sure.
But one of the reasons why I think it is complicated is there's a lot of factors to consider, because most of the time we're not voting for a particular law. We're voting for a particular representative.
Sure.
And none of those representatives we're going to agree with 100% of the time or on 100% of the policies.
Okay.
You know, and so I would say, like, as you're making that calculus, one of the reasons why, like, you know, I mean, one, people of faith are going to disagree on issues, like that's a and policy. Right. That's totally a thing. But also, like, just how you are going to make the decision on which candidate you're going to vote for, that's a complicated decision with a lot of factors.
Right.
You know, and so I think maybe that might be something worth exploring a little bit. Like, are we voting for ideas? Or are we voting for people?
Okay, so I'm gonna take the easy way out on this one, and I'm gonna say it's got to be both.
Okay,
and the reason it's got to be both,
that sounds like a youth pastor answer. I'm just saying
it is a youth pastor answer, but it's a youth pastor answer with a lot of experience behind it. And what I think is this: we do have ideas. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those ideas impact our ethical and moral standards as well. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that I think it's both is you do want to vote for policy. You do want to vote for ideas. But the reason you also have to vote for the individual is because when it comes down to it, you are putting your stamp of approval on somebody's moral or ethical character, mm-hmm. Especially when it's to the higher offices, uh-huh. right? And so a view that I have held that's not incredibly popular is there are certain ethical and moral standards that I hold that if a person that is running on a ticket does not fall in line with those moral or ethical standards, I will not vote for that person.
Gotcha. There's deal breakers.
There's deal breakers for the individual. And it could be somebody that I agree with the majority of their ideas, but I disagree with their morality or their ethics. And it makes it where, according to my Christian worldview, that's not who I want representing my Christian worldview.
Gotcha.
And at that point, assuming that it's the major party that at that moment is falling in line more with my ideas, I don't automatically go to the other party that has ideas that at the moment are contradicting some of my views. I might look to a third party, mm-hmm. Which my dad would say is throwing my vote away. Or I might look somewhere else, but I feel like I've got a biblical conviction to not put someone into elected office or to vote in the direction of certain individuals with questionable morality or ethics.
So you would say character matters.
Character certainly matters when it comes down to it. And so I think the easy answer that most people would say is you only vote for the ideas. You don't vote for the individual. Mm-hmm. But I think it's got to be both.
Gotcha.
I think it's got to be both. It's impacted the way that I voted in previous elections. It's impacted who I voted for, how I voted for. And I don't see that changing. I want to vote my conscience, and I want to vote closest to what I see laid out in Scripture.
Yeah, I certainly hear you. And I think the only thing that I would kind of add is that just keep in mind that there's no such thing as a perfect candidate.
Absolutely.
You know, if the other thing I heard one pastor say this once, and I always found this to be helpful. He said, remember that a vote is not an endorsement.
Okay.
That was his opinion. And I would agree with that. I would say there's a difference between saying I'm going to vote for this person because I consider this the wisest choice, you know, that I have set before me, versus I'm going to go tell all of my friends that they need to vote for this person. I would say those are two different things.
I could see them being two different things. I often in church, I oftentimes would see somebody that votes in a certain way, says the line that's the famous line, I vote for the lesser of two evils, and then right. tells me that I also need to vote for that same lesser of two evils. And at that point, you're endorsing the candidate,
right,
and encouraging me to vote for what you just called evil. Mm-hmm. And if the options are evil, then I'm going to abstain.
I would prefer to not participate in evil.
I would prefer to not participate in evil.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good point.
And there are other options, and I can vote in other ways. I can vote for other candidates, for third parties, for spoilers, and you know, I'm going to use my voice, even if a good amount of the generations before me say it's throwing it away. I get to use my voice how I feel in my conscience and in my worldview best lines with scripture.
Practically speaking, what are some things that you read, listen to, think about before you make the decision when you go to the ballot box?
So I am somebody that is typically pretty well read on, and I know that that doesn't define everybody that's listening to this. But I try to read multiple perspectives on individuals and their policies before I make any major decisions. I will read news from right-leaning and left-leaning articles and places. I'm not somebody that's so naive to think that one of them is right and the other is not. I feel like both push agendas often.
Right.
But I try to be well-rounded in what I read and how I read it and what I watch and how I watch it. And there are some outlets or articles that I will just flat out reject and not go there because, it seems to me to be very blatant propaganda and I don't really want to, indulge in some of that type of stuff. And so I've listened to podcast and then later canceled that podcast, talking about cancel culture. I have not, encouraged everyone to cancel the podcast, but, I use that same metric on when I'm listening to news or to opinions, you know, but also find Christians, in, you know, the vast universe that write or that speak, that do podcasts and listen to their opinions. But make sure you're forming your own as well. But I think a lot of times you can find Christians that have shared opinions and listen to how they formed their opinions. Don't just blanket agree with the opinions that they're offering. And so that's the way I do it. It's a meticulous process. And especially, when someone claims to be politically homeless or an independent, you don't just go in with the expectation of I'm going to check a box.
Right.
You know, that says, you know, all Democrats or all Republicans and then you're done. Right.
They used to have a button for that.
Yeah.
I don't think they have it anymore
because
there was a time.
Yes.
You know, and that's almost a good example of how not to approach politics.
Yes.
And not that I have a problem with there being pushing a red button if that's where you feel, but you know, there's a reason why they don't have the red or the blue button anymore.
Right.
And that's because I think it's important for us to examine issues and examine candidates.
Yes.
And I think all of us, and whether you're whichever cable network of choice is your preferred network, or if you're listening to,
you still watch cable news.
No, I do not watch cable news at all. But if you're a person like me who listens to a lot of podcasts,
sure,
you still have a lot of those talking heads in your ear.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you have certain people that are sort of your go-to opinions. And I think it's wise to think carefully about what's going on.
Yes.
Educate yourself, like you talked about, look at different sides of the issue, listen to different voices and form your own perspective. And I think that is healthier as a believer who's trying to engage in the political process with wisdom. Just like I don't think it's super wise for there to be a red button or a blue button. You know, you don't want there to be a Fox button or an MSNBC button or a insert whatever your favorite podcast button.
Right.
You know, but to think through issues and candidates prayerfully and carefully. You know, and I think at the end of the day, when it comes to Christians being engaged in politics, let's do it prayerfully.
Sure.
And let's do it respectfully.
Right.
You know, that one of the things that's so discouraging about politics is all of the mudslinging and the grossness. And we believers, when we get on social media, we can be guilty of that too.
Right.
You know, let's not demonize the other side. Let's especially not demonize brothers and sisters that disagree with us.
Right.
Especially because, again, we're talking about complicated issues.
Yes.
You know, you may have, you know, somebody who feels very strongly one way because of a particular issue, like maybe the sanctity of life would lead you to vote in one direction. You may have other faithful believers that feel very strongly about the way we treat immigrants and the poor as a nation and form national policy around that. That may cause them to vote in a different way, you know? And those are both, I mean, we're going to have differences of opinion on how all of those issues work together.
Right.
But that is one of the reasons why you can be a faithful, biblically informed believer in Christ. And you may lean to the red or to the blue. You may lean more to the right or to the left, depending on kind of where you're at with some of those issues. And so I think, like, let's just be respectful. Let's be respectful of everybody in the political process, but especially of brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Heights Podcast. Be sure to listen next week as Jonathan and I finish this conversation about the Christian culture and politics. We'd love for you to worship with us at our campus in Alvin, Texas. We worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We have life groups for all ages at 9 a.m. And if you'd like more information about Heights Baptist Church, be sure to check out our website at heightschurch.org.